One of my favorite names for Jesus would have to be Savior. Jesus, our Savior. At our wedding, the soloist sang that great hymn, Savior, like the shepherd, lead us. During the Lenten season that's forthcoming, we will sing Alas and Then My Savior Lead. Many of Sunday, during a time of commitment, we have raised our voices to sing All the Way My Savior Leads Me. In the New Testament, the word for Savior is soter, and it means preserver, deliverer, rescuer, redeemer, the one who saves. The word Savior in the New Testament is found 24 times. But in the Gospels, I was really amazed. In the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word Savior only appears 3 times. It was in Mary's song, Luke recorded, where Mary sang, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. During Advent, we read from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas narrative. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And then in John, the other occurrence in all the Gospels, after Jesus had communed with the Samaritan woman at the well, and she runs back into the village, and she says, And now we know this man really is the Savior of the world. In the next few Sundays, I want to talk about Jesus. Next Sunday, Jesus, our teacher. The following Sunday, Jesus as Lord. But today, Jesus as Savior. As Savior. In Scripture, I think there are 3 big elements to Jesus' saving work. The first is that Jesus, our Savior, forgives our sin. He forgives our sin. And if you have your Bibles, Matthew 1, that text says, Matthew 1, 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. He will save from their sins. We know about sin. Someone said, you've preached a lot about sin lately, and I said, well, I need to be reminded, although I know it quite well. Sin is inevitable, and sin produces guilt for those of us who know God and are called of God. We know of that guilt. There's legitimate guilt that comes in our life, that feeling that arises when we know we have chosen our way, we have ignored God, and we have broken that relationship. We know about sin. And we know that legitimate guilt that comes. There's illegitimate guilt. Guilt that we really have no control over. I've counseled through the years of those who had abuse, children of abuse, or spouses of abuse, and they're guilty for something that they did not do anything wrong. So what do we do with this guilt? Sin happens, and we are overcome with guilt, and I think guilt is of God. It reminds us of our broken relationship. Many folks internalize that guilt. They internalize it, hold it in, and then they go to physicians or psychiatrists or psychologists or pharmacists to help them overcome that internalization of their guilt. Others choose not to internalize, but totally externalize their guilt. And they say things like, I stay drunk because she nags me all the time. Or, yes, I had that affair because finally someone makes me feel important. Sin leads to guilt, and guilt, we internalize it, and we're filled with depression, and we're alone. Or we externalize our guilt, and we're angry and maybe shot. Are those the only 2 options? Internalize, externalize? No. The Bible reminds us that Jesus is our Savior, and as Savior, we can confess our sin, and he forgives our sin. Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sin on Calvary's cross. And when we confess that sin to Him, He takes the sin away and He offers total forgiveness. The psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 12 said, "As far as the east is from the west, so has He forgiven our transgressions." He wipes the slate clean. A Savior who forgives our sin. Isaiah the prophet said, "Though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they can become as wool." Forgiveness. We often look at that passage, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all our unrighteousness. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Savior, He forgives our sin, and He will forgive your sin and my sin even today. So Jesus is our Savior who forgives our sin. But Jesus as a Savior not only forgives sin, but He restores relationship. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that wonderful passage on reconciliation. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is a precious word to me, reconciliation. It's a beautiful word to hear, but it's more so a beautiful experience. And yet so many have never experienced reconciliation. Sin separates, and sin brings that guilt. And we just sang of the cross and our Savior who takes our sin. But that same Savior not only takes our sin, but He brings reconciliation. Sin leads to guilt, and it leads to an estrangement. The two girls over here, I said earlier today, don't be apart. Be separate. And it's not a good place to be. But instead, you want to be surrounded by God. You want to be in the midst of God's love. You know, I think my theology continues to change and be molded and moved, not by the world, but by the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to have it all figured out. God was here and we were there, and this great separation, this great chasm happened because of sin. And I'm not opposed to that view. But maybe that's too simple. I don't understand. I have to tell you, I don't understand all that sin does. I know it does bring a sense of separation in my life to God. I don't think, however, that God stands, God, the sinners in the hands of an angry God, that God is shoving us away because God in His holiness can't have anything to do. I don't like that image, and I don't think it's biblical. God is a God of love, a God who created us and longs to be with us and longs us to be with Him. God doesn't flee from us when we sin. God doesn't stand back away from us and let us grovel in our sin. God longs to be with us, to reconcile us. Paul was right. If we're in Christ, we're a new creature. That old is gone. And from God, we have reconciliation through Christ, our Savior. Jesus, our Savior, restores our relationship. We mess it up. It's all on us. We're the one who choose to move away from God through our sin and our guilt. God is never happy with you, please. God doesn't want that. God wants reconciliation. He wanted it so much, He gave Christ for us. And Christ does bridge that chasm. Christ does bridge that gap. Christ, our Savior, restores what sin takes away. Christ makes whole.
Jesus, our Savior, He forgives our sin. He restores our relationship. And thanks be to God, He secures our future in heaven. I've officiated hundreds and hundreds of funerals as a pastor. And yet I know so little about heaven. I remember as a boy, young boy, on a Sunday night, I'd played six, so I wouldn't have to go to training and union. And my mother, I guess, thought I needed to learn something. And so she began to try to explain to me heaven. As a child, I tried to picture what she was saying. And it was a beautiful, beautiful place that she described. Yet most of us, that's all we can do is imagine. Oh, some have had an experience where they believe they were near death and pictured some things, and movies have been made and books have been written. We don't know about that place. I do know this. If you take vitamins, keep taking them, and if you're on fiber, do it. But death's going to happen. We can count on that. It will occur. That's part of God's plan for us to be born and yes, to die. And so as a believer, as a follower, Jesus, our Savior, secures this place. I don't know a lot about heaven, but I do know it'll be an amazing place. John had a little vision of heaven. Remember how John described it in Revelation 21? I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more separation. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Look, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God will be their God." Listen, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In heaven, there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more mourning, and no more pain, for the old things will all have been passed away. Oh, that's an amazing promise, an amazing picture, an amazing place. Jesus will be there. We will be there with Jesus, our Savior, who has forgiven our sins and restored our relationship and has secured our future. What a place. In my generation, through funeral and memorial services, a song that has given us such hope in the midst of that song that says, "When Christ shall come with acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art." Let's sing that song. Let's sing that great hymn and reflect on the security that our Savior brings us, future in heaven. be seated. You're probably saying, we've been up and down more than any service that we've been to in a long time. And that's, we're either trying to get heaven to you quicker or holding you off with all that exercise. How great thou art. Philippians chapter 3. Paul wrote, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Our citizenship, not here, but our citizenship in heaven. Death will be an exit from this earth, and it'll be an entrance into eternity. Jesus, our Savior, secures our future. Oh, what a Savior. A Savior indeed. As we sang that, I couldn't help but look. Many of you, just in the short time that I've been here, have lost loved ones. And oh, to think that it just ended there, but the hope we have as believers that it didn't end there. That the security of heaven because of our Savior. Well, it's the Super Bowl Sunday. It's the big game, and folks are all ready. You couldn't buy a bag of chips at Brookshire Brothers today if you wanted to. They've all been purchased. Folks have all their Super Bowl parties ready. The Pats and the Eagles, who really cares who's going to win? There's one that cares, only one that I know of. It doesn't matter, Eagles, Pats, I think the Bears are going to probably win. That's why I wore my Baylor outfit. Baylor should be in the Super Bowl in my mind. Super Bowl Sunday, here's something that's super. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus, our Savior, who forgives our sin, who restores our relationship, brings us together, and secures our future in heaven. Do you know that Savior? You can. And if you don't, I pray that you come to know Him soon. And if you know Him, then let us live that life of forgiveness, that life of restoration, and look forward to one day where He will secure that place for us in heaven.